welcome to Cinema Vino. This is going to be a mini Benino. This is a mini episode. We're not drunk yet, but we're probably going to be.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the Joker. Everybody's seen it, all three of us. We're going to talk about life, talk about love.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about Joker. So we'll start with Taylor. What did you think?
So Travis and I saw it together. We held hands.
Interlocked fingers.
Yeah, it was pretty arousing. He had a hole in the bottom of the popcorn bucket and kind of disturbed me.
Extra
bucket. So I thought about it for a while after just seeing it. And, you know, my first gut reaction was, you know, man, this is kind of a little maybe too dark, disturbing for what I was, like, thinking it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just a few hours of thinking it over, like, honestly, I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. How it progressed. Mm-hmm. Started off super, super slow for me. Like, maybe, dare I say, way too slow. I was like, you got to, something's going to happen because I'm just like, it's kind of sad, depressing. Like, you know, what's going to happen? Is this the whole movie? And it definitely picked up, definitely moved forward. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, we're giving spoilers here if you haven't seen it for the most part, or yay or nay.
Oh, would we recommend people going to see it? I would say yes.
Yes. I would say there'll be spoilers ahead.
Yes. So spoiler, right.
Yeah. Go
so
ahead. Go ahead and I will, peace on out if you don't want spoilers.
Yeah, I will give mediocre spoilers, but the scene in the subway jump-started it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, thank God. Like, something happened. Yeah. And that really, I think from that scene, which probably was 20, 30 minutes in maybe, really, I think, set the tone for the rest of it. Still, man, very certain scenes where it's like, man, like, I felt bad watching it. Like, kind of, you know, when you see someone with a mental illness, you know, it's like, and you see that he can't control it. It's like, it was almost like it was too real for me.
Or you were embarrassed for
him. Yeah, it's like you felt bad for me. Like you honestly...
He made you feel feelings.
Yeah, and I was like, which I don't have a lot of feelings. Like, I don't care about people.
I'll back that up.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Acting.
Yeah, but it was like, it really was like, man, like, I almost feel bad watching this film because it's like, you're just watching someone getting beat down. You know, especially in 2019, not understanding mental illness, all this, like, God, it's kind of depressing. But at the same time, you had to sit back and be like, this is a fucking movie about the Joker. Mm-hmm. It's like, so once you get past that reality, like, and you know what the Joker is, like, man, God dang, like, look at damn good film. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, I thought it was from the directing to obviously the acting and the storyline. I think Travis and I chatted a little bit about it afterwards. I think my official thing is like, man, damn good film.
Yeah.
Is it one of those films you can go back and watch over and over again? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. Like, it might not be one that I put back, you know, I'm not going to buy, you know, the Blu-ray version of it, but I thought it was a damn good film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd say Oscar worthy for sure.
Yeah. It's like the acting was phenomenal. Honestly, the directing I think was absolutely phenomenal.
It's a good looking movie.
Exactly. It was like very good looking movie. Not a whole ton of CGI. But you know, I did feel like some scenes were too long. I will say if you're into dancing, the Joker dances quite a bit, a lot of scenes, but I get what they were trying to portray with that dancing. But I was like, wow, man, we are doing some long numbers. When he was, he does dye his hair at one scene. I'm like, we're still in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. I was like, and we are Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, there. I was like, we're still in the bathroom here. It's like, okay,
I'd fuck me.
Yeah,
I just after you said that, I was thinking, I was like, yeah, it's beautifully acted film, but I was like, wait a minute, there's besides Joaquin Phoenix, everybody else has mediocre performance, dog shit performance. I don't know. It goes across the board. I'm like, he's the tour de force, like the guiding light of the film. I mean, obviously he's in just about every scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, and you know, in any scene that it's by himself,
mm-hmm.
it's like this almost elongated scene. If it's just him, you know, and I get that you're focusing on one character, you're focusing on a transitional period, you know, to what he becomes. But my God,
he didn't even have a friend. He's got his boss, mm-hmm. his coworkers, his mom, Robert. De Niro, he's got, and then just a whole bunch of randos. Oh, and his
the little guy.
Yeah, yeah.
From work, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. both guys from work. I mean, neither one.
Yeah.
Nobody turned in, like, an absolute stellar performance. Like, no. I almost forgot about everybody else.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was so centric, and I think that's probably why early on I was like, what is happening in this film? Like, are we just watching this, like, slow change? Just, I don't know. That's how I felt early on. I'm like, can we get a different character? That's a good point. Like, that's probably what I was thinking. Like, we got to get somebody else in here. But yeah, ultimately, man, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I think I've already seen a few things like, oh, is it a, you know, who was the better Joker? Mm-hmm. You know, Heath Ledger, you know, Joaquin Phoenix. I'm like, two completely different characters, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Two completely different characters.
My dad thought that this was, like, the true story of how Heath Ledger and what he went through and how he, like, died. He thought Joaquin Phoenix was playing Heath Ledger, playing the Joker.
Oh, mm-hmm. Whoa.
This was a biopic.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would, or biopic.
That yeah. would be an interesting movie about his, his own meltdown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
so what'd you think?
It was interesting. It you know, and I've said this to people, it's like it provoked interesting questions. I like the fact that it was provocative. It made you think. It was like, I don't know that I've ever seen a movie that did not have a relatable, like a character you could root for in the end. Like it ended up with nobody that you're rooting for.
Yeah.
Every character around the Joker was despicable, and then eventually the Joker became despicable. And it's like, I've never seen anything like that in a movie. And it was like, you know, the questions I asked are like, does a movie have to be entertaining? It's like, is a movie obligated if it's art to be entertaining?
Yeah.
Does it have to give us a relatable point of view? Does it have to do any of that stuff?
Yeah.
Or does it just depict what it depicts? It's like, this is, it was a very unrelentingly grim movie to watch. It was a very depressing, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
Relentlessly. And it's like, you come out of it, I thought even more. It was even more like of a downer at the end than it was at the beginning. It starts out grim and goes downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that was the line, because I read your review at the end. It was like a lot of it was unpleasant and exhausting. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, no.
And those are, again, words that are super accurate, but I still love the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's weird to say that. Yeah. That it's like you're going to enjoy yourself at the movie, but like some of it is uncomfortable to watch and weird and shit like that.
And I sorry to interrupt, but it's the one thing I can agree to what you just said is like, I think the only joy I got, you said it was like got present in the end, the only joy I got was, you know, because the whole mentality for me was like, you're watching the transition to the Joker. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, Travis heard me laugh a few times. So like, there's just a few things here and there. Like, honestly, I was actually relieved at the end where it's like, finally, we see him become who he is. Mm-hmm. Not saying that's a good thing, but I was just like the entire time, I'm like, when does he become? You know, it's like, I'm like, there's this anticipation, like waiting for it. And like at the very end, you know, I'm like, okay. Like that to me, that last, 15, 20 minutes, you know, that made the movie for me. I'm like, finally, you've tied it all together. Yeah. You've shown he's almost accepted who he was. Yeah. He's like, I am the Joker, you know, and it's like, so to me, that made the entire movie, which kind of sucks because it was a slow burn, as I told Travis, but it was like, that to me made it. But you're right, like the entire time, you're just like, you know, it's
relentless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mentioned that in my review, moviereviews.us.
Moviereviews.us.
Yes. Mm. That the what I thought of was Walter White and Breaking Bad, where it's like, you know, I'm talking about the finale episode of Breaking Bad. Again, spoiler alert, but it's like his wife finally confronts him of like, I don't want to hear any more bullshit that you did all this for the family, like making the meth, making the millions, killing the people. And he says, you know, I did it for me. You know, I felt alive when I did that. And it's like
100%.
And it's like,
I was good at it.
Yeah. And it's like the getting the cancer and all that did not make him do the things. They just opened up who he really was.
Gave him the excuse.
Yeah. So it's just like, that's kind of like the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, it's what he's good at.
Well, I mean, I hadn't read the review. I'm sorry. You can see it on reviews.us. Mm-hmm. But that's 100%. I mean, that's exactly in that one scene where he goes to the psychiatric ward. I mean, the Joker flat out says, was like, you know, I thought I would feel bad, but I don't. Mm-hmm. It was like, but I didn't. Yeah. It was like, you know, and I thought that was a really cool scene where it's like, even he's like, he's almost confessing to things he has done in the movie.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I thought I'd feel bad, but I don't. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, that was like, that's pretty cool. So great analogy of the Walter White. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought they would show him. So there were so many times in the film where I was like, oh, okay, this is where he's going to crack. And then it wasn't quite then. And then I was like, okay, this is the big turning point. Mm-hmm. Nope, not yet. I thought it was like after he would, you know, shoot the people on the subway, after he suffocated his mom, after he did whatever else. Like, I thought him at one point, like, you know, finding out that he was adopted and abused as a kid and all that, and that his mom was crazy. I thought him, like, taking everything out of the fridge and then crawling in there.
That was a weird scene.
Oh, shit. Is this him, like, is this him cocooning? Is he going to, like, come out and then just be, like, you know, snap and the neck and be like, all right, now I'm Joker.
Which he could have come out pale, like, you know.
like cold. Yeah, I guess so. But, yeah, I thought the little nods of him being a clown first and with the green hair that he then, like, dyed himself was interesting. Like, but he never got to, like, full Joker mode, I guess. Like, he didn't come up with crimes. He didn't come up with, like, his one thing was to, you know, go, I guess, commit suicide on live TV. But I just watched Taxi Driver tonight for the first time, knowing that it inspired this. And I saw a lot of that in there of him, De Niro in the mirror, like talking to himself, imagining himself in different situations. And you can see that with Joaquin when he's like imagining being on the show and then like coming out. But where it really got almost Wizard of Oz like to me and the whole color palette changed is right when he actually walked out onto the stage behind all the bright curtains and you see him like all in lights. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, now it's, he was
much,
going down.
Yeah, he was like much more calm. Like, that's what I was telling him when, after we finished it. Like, that's when I took it as, I am now the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, he was able to talk a little bit more. You could see him, like, opening up. So, yeah, it was like color change, this whole opening. Like, he spoke what he felt, you know, and he just, so I was like, that was a huge transitional scene.
But he also didn't have, like, any, like, everything that really happened to him was just a big accident. Like, he killed the one dude with some crazy ass scissors.
Yeah.
Which is way fucked up. But he was getting chased by the cops, and I was like, oh, he's gonna have like some plan or something.
He said,
no, it was a pure accident. He just stole some dude's mask on a subway.
Yeah.
And then there was an accident that happened with a gun that went off, and then the whole mob of other people in clown masks then mob the cops. And I'm like, oh, so he didn't do shit.
He's lucky.
He just,
lucky, yeah.
So he didn't. He didn't do Joker type things, well, I guess.
Well, and that's what we kind of talked about after the movie. It was like, you know, I was okay with that, you know, but I think what the director, Todd Phillips, had mentioned, like, hey, you know, this is just a one off. And, but we talked about, like, man, you basically left it open to do tons of stuff. But if you do a centric character, now you're kind of hurting, like, the Batman. You're hurting any, you're hurting your Batman franchise, if anything. But it was like, I thought I actually liked that, where it was like, it's like he was in that learning process. And then,
learning curve.
Yeah, learning curve. And then, you know, when he actually, you know, at the very end, when he gets freed and everyone's kind of like, you know, checking him out, you know, it's like where he becomes a god. You know, it's like, to me, I was like, man, you just opened up probably, you know, at least three or four more films. If not, you know, the first thing I thought of was comparing to Marvel. And I mean, don't chastise me, but like, it could totally be like, the Spider-Man. Like, you could reboot this thing 800 million times. It's like, just from all this stuff. And it was like, I was like, man, this is, to me, I thought it was really, I thought that was the coolest part of it. It was like, you saw the transition to who he was. I think I said at the very end, when, you know, Mr. Wayne gets killed, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And the whole pearls coming off.
Oh,
that
was cool.
I mean, just like the original Batman, I was like, this is badass. And I was like, okay, that was cool. And it's like, and to me, I was just like, you're just leaving so much stuff open. And you know, so I would be shocked if they didn't do anything after that. Yeah. I'd be shocked.
Yeah. I was surprised that they didn't. I thought when, you know, Joker dressed as a bellhop and went into that movie, I was like, oh shit, is he going to try and confront Thomas Wayne after the movie? And he's going to be with his wife and kid. I was like, that would be fucked up. And then it'll always be, you know, kind of like the Michael Keaton Batman, where it was young Jack Napier that killed his parents when he was young.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that would be cool. And that movie took place during the 80s, and this is Joaquin in the 80s. I mean, you know, however they do it. But they've also done it in the comics before, where they've alluded to, well, maybe Joker's Thomas Wayne's illegitimate kid. But, you know, they keep telling you different lies. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm 100% this guy's kid. Yeah. Nope, that's a lie. He was adopted and all this. Like, his origin in this keeps changing because he doesn't even know it himself.
Exactly, yeah.
He still doesn't know who his parents are. And then they have had it before where they've taken parts of different comics to put in this one. So in Batman the Killing Joke, written by Alan Moore, he's a failed comedian, and I think his wife and unborn child dies, and he gets strong-armed by gangsters into being a front for them to distract Batman while they go rob something. So they kind of took at least the failed comedian approach and put it in this. And then in The Dark Knight Returns, written by Frank Miller, with the older Batman, they have a supposedly reformed Joker go on to, like, a Johnny Carson-type show. And, of course, like, he ends up poisoning, like, the entire audience and, you know, taking over the cameras. So I was seeing all those parts, and I was like, oh, I can see what they've taken from different comics to add in here.
That's pretty cool.
Two things that I saw in there. Like, one thing I liked was, like, how we talk about Joker's always says he's an unreliable narrator. Like, he makes up lies about himself and where he comes from. I liked it that they hinted at that with his, like, girlfriend who wasn't real.
Yeah.
That, Fight Club.
Yeah, that she was, yeah, fictitious. But also, I liked the twist that his mom was also an unreliable narrator. Like, what she said couldn't be believed.
Exactly,
either.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he learns that about his mom, but that's also something about who he is, too.
Yeah. So that's, okay, that's my question. Everybody was on 100% the same page that she was made up in his mind, right, as a girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think, I mean, if they were trying to skew it to be like, oh, my gosh, in this big turnaround at the end, like, oh, my God, who are you? You live down the hall, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was poorly done. But I'm pretty sure we're supposed to be in on the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he's, yeah, just fooling himself.
Yeah, I think after the subway scene, him going in there and kissing her, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I was like, no way.
Hard pass.
But, I mean, I will say it's like, it left a little bit of doubt in my mind. I'm like, okay, is this real? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know.
Well, see, I also thought that they were, again, in The Killing Joke, I can't remember what it is. The failed comedian Joker is trying to do a get-rich-quick thing because his wife is sick or something like that. And she's got, I think she's pregnant, something like that. And somehow she dies anyway. I thought, again, unreliable narrator, I thought he was going to project that onto Zazie Beetz and her kid, and something bad was going to happen to them, or he was going to be fucked up and kill them himself, and then assign it to somebody else and be like, yes, my wife and daughter were killed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you sick fuck, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they've also done, there's a theory that essentially Fight Club is kind of a origin story for the Heath Ledger Joker. And I think I've mentioned that before on this, and I'll say it super quick. Whenever the Tyler Durden persona was fighting in Fight Club, he kept fighting and getting, like, one side of his face. He bit on his cheek, and, like, it got more and more fucked up until it finally just, like, came apart, and he was like, well, shit, I need stitches. Then at the end of the film, whenever he shoots himself, like, tries to shoot himself in the head, it ends up going through the other cheek. Mm-hmm. And in the book, it says, and I made pretty much a crooked, symmetrical smile on the opposite side, so it looked like it was one big smile.
Mm-hmm.
And if you liken it to that, then, you know, that Heath Ledger Joker is just Tyler Durden with the volume cranked up to 11 and just taking on a completely new persona.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Project Mayhem. He's got, like, Fanatics. He knows how to turn soap into, like, grenades and shit like that. Or not grenades, but you get explosives.
He's got Meatloaf on his team.
Exactly. His name is Robert Paulson.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that, and, like, you told me that earlier in the day, and now I just thought of that. It's that scene where they confront him when they're having the Fight Club, and they're like, hey, it's like, you know, what are you all doing here? Oh, this is Phil. Like, Phil's home with a broken collarbone. I'm, you know, I'm so-and-so. I run this place. And so the guy ends up beating the shit out of Brad Pitt, or Tyler Durden.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he just laughs. He's laughing the whole time. Yeah. He's just laughing the whole time. And then when he gets on top of him, he was like, you don't know where I've been. You know, and the whole time he's just laughing, and people are vomiting. Like, they don't understand it. Like,
yeah.
God damn it, Travis. Now I gotta read this theory.
Yeah.
It was like, that's it. I mean, because he's laughing the whole time as he's punching him. Mm-hmm. And like,
just rewatch the movie or like read the book. That's what got me to read the book finally, is that I saw that theory.
That is kind of Joker's in Dark Knight when he's like, you know, you have nothing to hurt me. You know, or when Batman's beating on him and he's laughing, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's similar. Like, hit me. Just do it.
Yeah.
I want you to hit me as hard as you can.
Well, God damn it. What the hell? Oh my God. That's right.
Mm-hmm. It is. Holy it's shit. Just badass. And then so. Yeah. Yeah, so we were talking about this a little bit, too. There was a Guy Ritchie trailer at the beginning, but it made me think of again, Brad Pitt in Snatch, about how that's...
How, the Gentleman.
Yes. That's how Brad Pitt can... Or Brad Pitt, fuck. That's how the Joker can fight Batman. He's very unorthodox, but he's started his own underground fight club where he's... You know, hits as hard as a Irish boxer.
Well,
hits as hard as a coffin nail.
Yeah. I mean, it is weird, you know, you just commenting on that, you know, thinking of it, maybe that's why they had him shirtless and like very skinny, but he always had that strength. Like when he was like taking the folder away from the. It's like he always seemed to have that strength, even though that might be why they had his shirt off so much. I mean, he was very thin, very frail, you know, bones sticking out. But
yeah,
but
that was fucked up.
But he always seemed to be strong. So that could very well be a kind of a underlining tone there, too. It's like, you know, I was like, why is his shirt off the entire time? This is kind of inappropriate.
Yeah. I mean, I could see him doing that to Batman, too, just taking, like, all the fucking hits and then jumping on top of Batman and doing the shaking of the blood.
Yeah.
You can't knock me down. You can't knock me out.
Yeah, just hit me.
Yeah.
So I like it. It was interesting, the portrayal of Thomas Wayne as just a dickhead.
Yeah.
Who also played the congressman in Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. I forgot about same that actor, until I was like, yeah, it's the same actor. I was like, what's he's just all up in Batman.
Very unsympathetic portrayal of him, which is interesting. I was thinking maybe they would just take him like full on villain, dickhead, like go completely Joker point of view, which also could be an unreliable narrator thing. Is like he sees Thomas Wayne as like an asshole.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, it's like he imagines him as this giant dickhead.
But Bruce could only remember him for the first 8 years, and he only gets to see the side of his dad that his dad shows him.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Wayne could have been that dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have been.
So, I mean, it. Makes sense to me, and I do like the at the end where they break Joker out of a car. It is interesting that the masks they use look a lot like the Dark Knight.
The beginning. That's like what I was thinking too.
One of the henchmen in that, I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, as soon as they break him out, he hops on the car, starts dancing around. And he's like, all right, Gotham's burning, all this shit. Mm-hmm. So I kept thinking, I was like, all right, well, either. This is going to be Joker's one and done. Like, while he was dancing on top of the cop car, I thought we were going to see him get shot.
Yeah.
And I thought... I thought that was going to be that, like, somebody in the crowd, like a younger person, was going to be like, oh, I can do this. Like, he didn't take it far enough, but I can take it further.
Yeah.
And use that as the impetus of that. And there's also... This has nothing to do with Joker himself, but it was really cool seeing... The Waynes coming out of the movie theater. And they did go see Zorro, but it was like Zorro the Gay Blade or something like that.
Yeah, it was a cool movie, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was in the comics, it was the mark of Zorro that he was coming out of, because Batman is basically Sherlock Holmes and Zorro rolled into one.
Yeah.
He's the wealthy landowner or whatever that he's even got his own mark, and his is the bat, and he, you know, wealthy dude, dresses in black at night and then goes out to right wrongs and, you know.
Interesting.
Fuck shit up.
But things wrong that once were right.
Yeah, exactly. And I like they didn't have to dwell on it a whole lot. They were just like, okay, here's a quick origin. Boom. We've seen it 10 times.
Yeah.
But the other thing that was cool was at the end, so Joker's dancing on the cop car and then boom, you see him just laughing in Arkham, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's thinking of Bruce there just like crying, and I wonder if he knew or found out about that. And I was really wanting him to say something fucked up, like instead of like, oh, singing you wouldn't song. Understand.
Yeah, exactly.
I really wanted him to be like, I'm thinking of that the look on that kid's face or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just something. He was like, I could have had that life, not mine or whatever. I met that kid. Like, I'm just thinking of that look on a kid's face when he, you know, when both of his parents died or something.
Yeah.
Super fucked up like that.
Yeah. It's next level.
Yeah.
They call me Mr. Glass.
Yep.
So we're going to take a minute. We're going to drink a little more vino, and then we're going to come back, talk about the vino, and summarize our thoughts. So
yes.
Hold that thought. Welcome back.
Hey, guys.
To Cinema Vino. We've had a couple more glasses of wine, so we're feeling a little more happy. So we're going to go around the horn, talk one last round of thoughts about the movie.
Oh, sure.
So we'll start with Tay.
Oh, why are we always starting with Tay?
Because I'm sexy.
Because he's so goddamn cute.
And my pants are off.
Well, keep your hands off my nipples.
MeUndies.com.
Ooh, that is different. Yeah, that's definitely for me. Actually, they have Star Wars undies.
Ooh,
by the way,
yeah, Taylor's wearing a shirt that I bought for him because I like to clothe him.
Yes, it's his way of claiming.
That is very true, actually.
It's Travis's way of claiming possession.
Oh, and Taylor. Speaking of
Todd, what's that shirt say that he's wearing?
Oh yeah, sure.
Can you describe it for the audience?
Wise men say forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
That's a picture of Michelangelo.
Michelangelo,
the secret
of the Travis, ooze. Because I believe what's my underwear? Oh man, oh, those are my alien underwear. No, it's just skulls.
Nope. It's a cow skull with wearing a flower crown.
Slow motion for me.
Yeah. I don't like the color. It's just gray, but the pattern I like.
Well, it hides the Doogie stains.
Tay, I'll let you in on a little secret. It doesn't hide them.
Okay, so let's get back to what. I know that I'm going to leave something for Travis, but the one thing that Travis and I did notice during the movie that, honestly, I still liked. The soundtrack was very, to me, very, very similar to Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I didn't.
By Hildur Guðnadóttir? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guðnadóttir?
And it was. But honestly, I liked it, but it always seemed with like the intense moments. Dare I say, I might have liked it more in this one, maybe a little more classical.
Mm-hmm.
But man, the Dark Knight. Oh, those Joker scenes, the very beginning. I was like, oh,
the discordant.
Oh, it was amazing. But I also liked it with this one too. And so that's one thing I picked up on. I was like, man, you can only. I know you're doing an origin story, and you're probably picking and choosing of where you're going to like do this from. But
yeah.
I will say, though, this movie might have been, you know, pick and choose what he wanted to use. My final thought is. Very well done.
Yeah.
Would I go see it again? Am I going to buy it on Blu-ray, a third region out of Japan? Probably not.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you should go see it.
Yeah.
I think that is the ultimate answer. It's like, just go see it.
Mm-hmm.
I would buy it on Blu-ray. Also, there is, just for real quick, anybody that has not seen it, there is no after credits or mid credits scene.
Good call.
Mm-hmm. Whenever the credits hit, boom, you're done.
Yeah.
And they did that on purpose because they were like, well, this is a riff on the normal superhero comic book genre. We're not going to do that because everybody else is doing that because we don't want to be like everybody else. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and sorry, Travis, interrupt, but when we walked into the theater, it had that little note.
Oh, yeah, the disclaimer.
The disclaimer. Right. Yeah, that said,
and
like.
You told us about that, Wolf.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So like, this is not like any other movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so for mature audiences and made sure to tell you it was rated R. So Disney Plus is going to do a series called What If on in animated form of all sorts of different shit that could happen to. That's weird.
I think Travis just got an unsolicited.
Dick pic.
Dick
pic. Yeah. On my phone.
Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looked pretty good. Better looking than mine. I digress.
He just got a Bitcoin.
That was weird.
Mm-hmm. But, so they're going to do a animated series called What If that's going to show different stuff that could have happened throughout the whole Marvel Studios comic book deal. Well, DC has something similar called Elseworlds. That it shows you any and all of the alternate or different timelines that could exist, kind of their own what if.
Yeah.
And this is a great one that, you know, what if Joker existed way before Batman? It just shows you different, like there's ones where Superman is raised in Russia, and he's, you know, doesn't fight for the American way. He fights for, you know, the USSR.
Duh.
Yeah. And there's somewhere like Batman fights Dracula and gets turned into a vampire. All like any and all crazy shit. But I think this one's the movie, the Joaquin movie, fits into, I would think, of kind of an Elseworlds tale. And if they start showing those could actually be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Their main trying to do DC Studios or DC Shared Universe have by and large been dog shit.
Yeah.
Honestly, if there wasn't, this film probably hit more home in 2019 than anything. Mm-hmm. You know, about mental illness. You know, what does the Joker say when his two coworkers come in? It's like, I haven't been taking my medicine and I've never felt better.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then some ill shit goes down. You know, it's just like we have some serious shit. P.S. That scene was fucking weird, but also hilarious when he says, "You were the only person nice to me."
Mm-hmm. And like, that's right.
That was so crazy.
For the little person,
yeah,
where you know, it's so fucked up. He's like, going to let him go away. Yeah. And you're like, he's not going to let him go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has to hop over and you're like, oh shit, he got past me. Like, he scared him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he gets to the door, you're like, oh, buddy, that's rough.
Yeah. That poor son of a bitch. Yeah.
I thought he was going to be looking for something to like stand on or something, but to undo the latch.
Yeah.
And then, there was so much tension there because then Joker pops up, opens it for him, and then opens it a little bit and then closes it again. You're like, oh, I knew it. Here it comes.
Yeah.
And then goes over to him, kisses him on the forehead, and then lets him go through the door.
Well, see,
Joker. Totally unorthodox. You never know what he's going to fucking do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and see,
I kind of loved it. That I think one moment, what might have been one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, I think that was the scene that changed it for me because it was like, that was the scene where he was like, hey, I have now committed to this, but you know what? I still have that mental cognitive, like, you were nice to me. So you know what? Yeah, you can go. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
It's like, totally is not the scene anymore. Like, if you think about, you know, just going back to Dark Knight, different movie, but, you know, blowing up an entire hospital.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, hey, fuck all y'all. You know, that's totally different realm. So, like, right there was, like, a really cool scene. It's like, hey, I still remember you were really cool to me, but I just stabbed this guy with some scissors numerous times, so you should probably leave. And that's the other thing. It goes back to that whole strength thing. You know, as thin and frail as he is, I mean, you know, obviously, spoiler alert, this guy was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just able to manhandle him, you know, with scissors. But it was like, still just, you know, this unreal strength.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And there was, again, I kept waiting for the one snap where it was like everything was going to change. But no, even when he snapped, he would go back to being Arthur Fleck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, so this isn't the last straw. This isn't the last straw. This isn't the whole there is no straw.
Mm-hmm.
This is just him being fucked up the entire time and just like going more and more and more. There's not one. I was waiting for the origin break.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. To where I see that.
I kept getting set up and set up and set up. And, you know, the closest we came is one him donning like the clothes and the makeup. And the hair and everything, and then saying, like, hey, would you introduce me as Joker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there wasn't one spot where it was like, now he's Joker.
And as you can see, I'm a lot happier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Real quick, we'll talk about the wine that we're drinking. We are drinking Madison Cures, the Sanity Red, and also the Renegade wine. Both of these are red blends. The Renegade's out of Columbia Valley. Madison Cures is out of California, I believe.
Which one did we have
Napa.
First?
Yes, out of Napa. We did the Madison Cures first.
Yeah, Madison Cures, that's real nice. This Renegade is growing on me, but we should have reversed the order.
It's a nice, easy drinking red blend.
Good stuff.
But they both kind of fit. You know, Renegade fits the Joker. Sanity Red, an ironic twist.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I'll post links to the wineries on moviereviews.us, and then you can listen, rate, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
And we would not be doing our due diligence unless we talked about like the the media surrounding the film, like
about
violence and basically, you know, white men with guns. And what there was the sign before we went in to warn us that it was a mature movie. But did you said that they had officers they in had the
police officers, yeah.
In the not in the theater, but at the theater.
This is opening night, yeah. They had
opening night.
They had cops on duty.
Just for shits and grins. But yeah, it wasn't more violent than any other film, like John Wick has been mentioned and and other stuff like that. It was definitely a character study.
Yeah.
But it wasn't I wanted Joker to do more crazy, gory shit.
Yeah.
And they kept me wanting more.
Yeah.
But it was, like I said, it wasn't an over the top.
No,
like,
not at all.
Super gory film.
No. If anything, it, you know, after watching the film, I could kind of understand maybe where all this came from. It's like pushing somebody over the edge. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this film was no, I know it's comical, but Kill Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, way more violent.
Yeah.
Way more. True. It's like, but I mean, I don't know.
The times being what they are. And,
exactly.
And the character being what it is. It's, you know.
And movies are a mirror for their times. I mean, if you go back through movie history, it's interesting, like how movies reflect the times in which they're made. Yeah. You know, you go back to mid-70s, Watergate, all that kind of stuff. It's like you get dark movies like Conversation, Parallax View, you know, even Godfather, Once Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Chinatown. It's like these dark movies.
Well, This is a... Sorry to interrupt, you know, but this made me think of this. Do you think this is one of those movies that could stand the test of time? Being that in the sense of, like, it's an origin story, but the sense that, like, there's nothing really... It is dated, but it's not, like, not graphically dated. So it's like, you know, this is could be one of those movies that could be a, you know, quote-unquote Taxi Driver.
Yeah, that people are still watching and
talking. Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely a provocative movie.
It
makes you think, makes you talk about it, makes you want to talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think they will... It'll come up in discussion. It's not going to be one of those that you're going to want to watch all the time. I mean, no. I would watch it again, but it's, yeah. I mean, it's Joaquin Phoenix. It's big standalone. Like, the Joker is arguably the greatest villain or supervillain of all time.
All comic books.
Yeah, all comic books. There's, you know, Magneto, where you can see his point of view. There's Doctor Doom, and he's, you know, giant over at Marvel. But
even Loki, you can see sometimes where he's coming from.
Yeah, but there's nobody that comes close to Joker.
Even Thanos has, I mean, it's like he's crazy, like...
A sympathetic view.
You can kind of, it's like, well, you know, you don't root for him, you don't relate to him, but it's like, you can, in his own weird way, you can see through his eyes.
Well, I can kind of root for Thanos. I'd like to snap a couple people out of
existence. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I love Thanos.
Yeah.
It's like,
he's a great character.
But Joker, you just want to see, like you said in your review, in Dungeons & Dragons, there's an alignment called Chaotic Evil, and it's just somebody that's purely there to fuck up law and order and to cause untold amounts of chaos, and that is Joker in a nutshell.
It's like Dark Knight was like, I'm an agent of chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be... Stand the test of time. I think it'll be definitely an Oscar nod, if not a win. I don't know what it'll be up against. Yeah, but
I haven't seen much else, but you know,
he did a damn good job.
I think he did too.
It's good shit.
Yeah.
Final thought.
So yeah, we shall see. But yeah, tune in next. We're going to look at El Camino. Speaking of Walter White and his unredeemability, we're going to watch El Camino, which centers on Jesse Pinkman, who was a redeemable character. Who throughout the series, it's like whatever Walter White did, the crazy fucked up stuff, you still rooted for Jesse because you felt like there's still hope for him, especially because he's young, especially because he has a good heart. It's like that, even then, that dark story, there was still somebody you could find there. It's like, I hope he survives.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like Walt's kids. You know, there were people within the frame of that story who were good.
Yeah.
You know, and then Walt was like the, you know, the conduit of... You know, good and evil. Like in terms of them, it's like you related to them, the people around him, and you wanted them to survive. There were moments we related to Walt too, even though he eventually fell completely to the dark side. But
It was a fun ride to see.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, tune in, and we will discuss El Camino next time. And we love you all.
Let me tell you how I got these scars.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, never rub another man's rhubarb.
Damn. But I'm just stumped. You ever danced the devil in the pale moonlight?
Ho-hee-ha, ho-ha. And I thought my jokes were bad.
Where does he get all those wonderful toys?